In heaven, we are deeply thankful that we can freely gather together in this way as your children to come to your very presence. And we know that this is possible in spite of our weaknesses and failures, our wretchedness, and in spite of the fact that you are a holy God, exalted, the majestic one. We know it is possible because in your goodness and grace, you have reached out to us. You have called us to yourself. You have washed us, cleansed us. And we thank you that we can now call you our Father and know that you are deeply concerned for each one of us. We thank you for this time that we can come together in this way to express our appreciation of you, our love for you. And we ask that you will help us to know how to deepen in our fellowship with you and also our knowledge of you and of your ways. And during times like this, we may also learn to deepen in our commitment to you. A time where we can also be strengthened and refreshed in our spirit, renewed in our minds, a clearer grasp of the truths you reveal to us in the scriptures. A time where the Spirit of God can speak to us and reveal to us areas in our lives that are deficient, lacking, steps that we can take, that we may be able to live lives that are more in conformity with your word, to be true disciples of the Lord. Father, we ask that as we continue to ponder over the subject of effective prayer, we ask that the Spirit of God will help us understand these issues, for we know that unless the Spirit of God enlightens us, we consider the issues in vain. And so, Father, we ask for your protection during this time. That you keep us from the evil one. You not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us or disturb us, in any way to hinder us from understanding and from hearkening to what you have to speak to us. We pray that you'll be pleased to fill this place with your very presence. We thank you for this time. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 66th message, and on the third major category of conduct, service, and action, the second message. And we are now considering effective prayer. Effective prayer. The second message on effective prayer. Effective prayer is an important subject, and the issues involved that we are considering are important and helpful if we can grasp well, both to help us to understand when we hear prayers that may sound good, to understand whether it is so or not, as well as in our own lives how to develop effective prayer, what are the issues to be concerned about, and how we can be more effective for the Lord. And we know that prayer is a very vital and major aspect of Christian living, as well as a very major aspect of our contribution to the Lord's work and the building of God's kingdom. A subject, an issue that Christians generally acknowledge, but yet a subject that often there's very little or superficial grasp and understanding of the issues. However, the issues are not easy to communicate nor easy to receive well. And I thought that one verse in scriptures, as well as an illustration that I will use, can help us to summarize, as well as to remember the main issues covered on this subject, including what is covered in the previous message, and can also help us in our consideration of what is a good prayer, the meaning of being able to pray well, and what areas, issues to look out for, concerned about in the area of prayer. The verse I like to refer to in the scriptures is in James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. It's the second part of verse 16, not the whole verse, just the second part. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. There are three aspects that are helpful to take note of. The last part emphasizes to us how prayer can accomplish much. There's much that can be accomplished through prayer. But the accomplishing much is linked to the righteous man. And the other aspect is effective prayer. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We'll ponder more over these verses, these words, and link them to some of the major issues we've been considering. But as we look at this portion of verse 16, the words of the text gives a sense of strength, power, and effectiveness in prayer. The sense of strength, of power, of effectiveness in prayer, or in the prayer of the righteous man. So when someone appears to pray well or can pray eloquently, or we hear a prayer which sounds good and we wonder whether it's so or not, and we ask ourselves, how do we evaluate? How do we go about evaluating? Then if we look at this verse, we can ask ourselves, is it effective? Is it effective? The effective prayer of righteous men accomplished much. Is it effective? And then we ask whether, does it accomplish much? Does it accomplish much? Not just whether it sounds good or not, but does it accomplish much? And then we may then ponder further when you say accomplish much. In what sense? How do we become clearer as to whether it accomplished much? And that's where in our consideration of effective prayer, we'll start to clarify this and the fuller statement on the meaning of effective prayer, which I mentioned to you in two parts. The first part, the prayer is acceptable to God. For the prayer to be effective, to accomplish much, it must first of all be acceptable to God. If it's not acceptable to God, then there's nothing left to be said. The prayer cannot accomplish much, it will not be effective. And the second aspect, when we consider accomplish much, to understand further what it means, we have to consider the quality and impact on the spiritual realm and how it contributes to the direction of the goal of the prayer in line with God's will and kingdom. To what degree it contributes towards what God is concerned about, the issues of God's kingdom. So in this regard, we will know that there are some areas that are more significant in the heart of God. Some issues, some areas are more significant than others. This also has a bearing on whether you say the prayer is effective or not, or whether the person can pray effectively. Some areas, though it may, when you pray and the Lord answers, it may appear more dramatic, but it may not be significant from an eternal perspective, from God's point of view. And so that's where we also need to try to understand what are the issues that God is concerned about. What are the issues that matter more to Him? And all this will help us to understand what is effective prayer and how to develop effective prayer. And so, in this light, we can say that a prayer which sounds good may be of poor quality. Why? Because although a prayer may sound good, it may actually have hardly any impact on the spiritual realm. It may contribute hardly anything to the kingdom of God. I may say, why is this so? We can list several aspects, several reasons. It may have hardly any spiritual impact or contribution to God's kingdom because, A, though it may sound good, actually the person's heart is not right. Or his attitude and spirit is not right. Something is wrong in his spirit, in his heart, in his attitude. So that affects the spiritual impact of his prayer. In fact, the prayer may be totally ineffective. Though it may sound good, it may be totally ineffective because it is rejected by God. And we've seen the verse in Isaiah that God does reject prayers. In fact, the scriptures tells us that prayer can even be an abomination to God. So it can be totally ineffective if it is rejected by God, but often it may not be totally effective, but the effectiveness can be significantly affected, or the degree of effectiveness has a direct relationship, bears a direct relationship with the degree of wrong attitudes, wrong spirit, things not right in the heart. Or B, it may be a poor quality because though it sounds nice, it may be just basically verbal or mental exercise. So the words that we hear, it sounds good, but there's actually very little spiritual reality and impact because it's basically just verbal, mental exercise. Or C, it may sound good, but actually there's only a very superficial coverage of the issues. It doesn't really hit issues that are really critical. It doesn't touch critical areas, perhaps because of lack of wisdom and so on. Some of these we have considered, and after this I'll also raise some of these areas again. But at the moment, just mention that it can be a superficial coverage of issues. It may not touch critical areas. It may not hit hard at the areas that are really important, and much time, concentration may be on issues that are relatively unimportant. And likewise, a prayer which sounds powerful may also be of poor quality, having hardly any spiritual impact or contribution in matters that are important in Lord's kingdom, because it's basically emotional, an expression of the emotion, though it may sound like a powerful prayer to others, or with great loudness of voice. And there are times where believers do pray and emphasize loudness of voice with the mistaken notion that it can contribute to the power of prayer. So on the other hand, another person who appears not to be able to pray well because his prayer is not smooth flowing and he has difficulty expressing himself, he's not eloquent, he may actually be more effective in his prayer because his prayer is accomplishing more. There's greater impact, there is more significant contribution in the issues pertaining to God's kingdom. We've also considered the main factors which contribute to the second part of the statement on effective prayer. Its quality and impact. The first part is acceptable to God, but the second part is on its impact, the quality and impact on the spiritual realm. And we saw that the main factors can be listed in three related categories. We list them as 2A, B and C. 2A has to do with the quality of life, 2B knowledge, and C is the degree of spiritual exertion. Quality of life, knowledge, and degree of spiritual exertion. I now want to take a look at the relationship between this statement on effective prayer, which I've mentioned to you in the previous message, and relate this to James chapter 5 verse 16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We can look at James chapter 5 verse 16 as divided into two main aspects. When we consider whether the prayer can accomplish much, we can look at it from these two aspects. One is the righteous man aspect, and the other is the effective prayer. The righteous man. The effective prayer of a righteous man. The righteous man. The righteous man here concentrates on the man, the importance of the man. the man, his heart and life. The righteous man. Righteousness, of course, pertains to the moral aspects, his heart and life. The righteous man. If we link this to the statement on effective prayer I've given to you, you can say that it relates to the first part, prayer that is acceptable to God. Whether our lives are righteous or not affects the issue of whether the prayer is acceptable to God. And also 2A, on the quality of life. The quality of life. Quality of life is seen as to do with spiritual health and stature. Now we consider the righteous man. If you look at the context of James chapter 5 verse 16, the context in this verse, when it mentions the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much, I see here there's the implication not only of the moral qualities of this man's life, but it also touches on the issue of the quality of this life, what kind of a quality that's been attained, the stature attained. For example, if you look on, if you look at the example given here in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. It's an example of a prayer that is powerful, effective, that accomplishes. And it gives the example of this man Elijah as the example of the righteous man whose prayer, whose effective prayer accomplishes much. So the righteousness there has a sense of the moral aspects, whether the lines basically pleasing to God, but also the stature of the man, the spiritual stature attained, would also have a bearing on how much is accomplished, the power of the prayer. So the righteous man, prayer acceptable to God, and 2A, one is the prayer acceptable to God, 2A has to do with the quality of life, the spiritual health, the stature of a person praying. Then if you look at James 5 verse 16, the other aspect is the effective prayer. The righteous man, basically, this aspect emphasizes to us the potential. This man can pray prayers that can accomplish much, but whether he does so or not, a righteous man, though having the capacity, having the potential, may not pray effective prayers, but he may pray an effective prayer. He has the potential and the effective prayer, so he needs to pray effectively. The effective prayer of a righteous man, it can accomplish much. So it's the effective prayer, his prayer, how he prays. So this talks about his prayer, how this righteous man prays, and the quality of his prayer. His prayer, how he prays, and then this leads to accomplishing much. He prays effectively, he can accomplish much. So whether this righteous man prays effectively or not, again, we can refer this to 2B and C. 2B is knowledge, which leads to wisdom in prayer. So where there is knowledge, it will help him to pray effectively. His understanding of God, the issues involved, how to direct, channel his prayer, and so on. So knowledge that leads to wisdom in prayer. And 2C is the degree of spiritual exertion. Degree of spiritual exertion, which is related to his spiritual strength, and also how much he exerts. He may be a righteous man like Elijah. He has the capacity to pray effectively, but does he exert himself or not? This righteous man, does he exert? And if you have to exert, of course, you need to have the spiritual strength, and then also the spiritual stamina and the perseverance. Do you exert, do you pray, and do you persevere? So the righteous man, if he prays, and there's exertion, and he prays with knowledge, it accomplishes much. This is the effective prayer. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. I now want to use an illustration that hopefully can help us to remember some of these major issues involved in effective prayer. And the illustration I want to use is water flowing through the hose. the water flowing through a hose, and we can liken this to the water to the spiritual life and energy released through prayer. The water flowing through a hose. Now, one aspect that's important would be the quantity of water that's flowing out through this hose. The quantity of water. Now, this relates to the life, the energy that's being released, that's coming forth. Now, this quantity of water would then relate to, is related to the quality of life, the righteous man. Whether it's righteous, his quality of his life, his heart's attitude, the stature is attained, this will have a bearing on the quantity of water. Parallel. And also the exertion. Whether he exerts, how much he exerts, whether he perseveres. This will affect the quantity of water that flows forth. The spiritual life and energy that's coming forth. So that will be one major aspect. Whether he exerts and the quality of life. The quantity that comes forth. But there are other aspects that are important. For example, the water that's coming forth from this hose, you can just spray it around. If you spray it around, then the impact will then be diffused. It's not concentrated. This can be likened to praying in general terms. So for example, you just pray generally for a country, that Lord bless this country, undertake. It's more general. The water is more like sprayed out. It's not concentrated. Or sometimes this will be in a more negative sense, or not so helpful sense, would be whereby you pray in a superficial way. In general terms, doesn't necessarily mean superficial, because there is a place for general prayer, but then it is not so concentrated on particular issues. But sometimes you pray superficially, though there is the potential of this water being properly channeled, but you pray superficially, then though you have the capacity there, it is not effective because you pray superficial issues. The water, the energy that is available is not properly directed to important areas. It's diffused. Now you can compare the water being sprayed around generally to the water becoming concentrated with a force like a jet of water that comes out. The same quantity of water can come out in a spray or can come out in a jet. Very powerful. It can be concentrated in a powerful jet. That means you are concentrating the energy, the life that's coming for the power released through prayer. You can concentrate it upon certain areas. Then it will be more powerful. The impact will be greater rather than just praying generally. So it can be channeled into more specific areas, and yet there's still the earnestness. So there's the force, the power on those areas. And then another aspect that's important would be where then you channel this water, the impact. Even if the impact is coming out very forcefully, if the impact, for example, is directed at unimportant areas, then little is accomplished. Other areas that are more important are neglected. But you can channel it and direct it properly. There's a lot of force. There's a life and power release, but you channel it to the right areas. Then it can be very effective and powerful in the areas that you're praying for. And if you pray the right areas, then much can be accomplished. So likewise, as we pray, we must be wise to understand how to channel, how to direct the spiritual life and energy being released through prayer. And this has to do with the issue of wisdom in prayer. Are we wise? And wisdom in prayer is related to knowledge. Whether are we perceptive? What are the issues that really matter in that situation? What are the areas of priority, the emphasis? Information also can help us. Or when you're praying for a person, whether you're perceptive, what are the areas of need? Or sometimes a person may be going through some difficulties. If you channel your prayer more in the direction of the person coming out of the difficulty, if in fact in that situation what is more needful is the Lord wanting to teach the person certain lessons and the transformation of his character, then you may be channeling your prayer in the an area that may not be that helpful compared to if you're wise, you have the perception, you channel it more in the direction of the person learning properly in that context. So I spent some time in the previous message talking about these things. I will not elaborate now. But wisdom in prayer is also very important. So of course, very primary thing would be for us to develop our lives so that there will be the capacity to exert and to release significant measures of spiritual life and energy through prayer. That is the quantity of water. But the other then is to channel it effectively and also to direct it at specific aspects that are important. But even if the quantity of water is not that great at that level of our lives, for example, in our development, at that point of time, our degree of maturity is on a certain level, so we relate that to the, and also how much we can exert. The quantity of water coming out may not be that great. It still helps if you know how to channel it. So wisdom in prayer would still be significant. So these various aspects are always significant. The quantity and the knowledge, how you channel it, how you direct it, the wisdom in prayer. I want now to carry on to consider with you a few points that are helpful to take note of in our consideration of this subject of effective prayer. One, though prayer, which sounds good and eloquent, may not be effective, we should take note that there is a place for choice of appropriate words. In other words, though our main concentration, we shouldn't just be taken in a sense, we come to the wrong conclusion, just when a prayer sounds good or eloquent means effective, though this is not so, we have considered this. Having said that, we must also take note that there is a place for choice of appropriate words in prayer. They are not irrelevant. Choice of appropriate words is not irrelevant. Why? Because the choice of appropriate words can help to express what is in our hearts and the meaning within. This is so even in our own personal prayers to God. Words are helpful. So we learn how to ponder over how to choose the right words to express what is in our hearts to God, as well as prayer over various issues. It helps to express the realities in our hearts. The other aspect of a choice of words that's helpful and relevant is when we are praying together with others. The choice of appropriate words can help others to join in the prayer effectively. For example, if in our hearts we mean something, we are praying about something, but the choice of words is a different meaning, then others will not be able to join in properly in the direction that we want to express within our hearts. We use the wrong words and the meaning that comes out is different from what we intend. Others cannot join in properly. And we know that when it comes to corporate prayer, for the prayer to be effective, one important aspect is to do with the unity of heart. So where the whole congregation joins in to pray on an issue, and where the prayer request or the prayer direction is correct, the choice of words is there, everybody is helped to join in effectively, it can make a difference. The choice of words we use, to a degree it helps us, or to a degree it helps others to understand and to join in the prayer effectively. So there is a place for choice of appropriate words. We mustn't treat this as irrelevant and be careless in our prayer and just pray whatever words come to our minds, or prayers that are very vague. Others will find it difficult to join in effectively. But we need to take note of two aspects, two qualifications, A and B, for this first point. That is, we still must be careful, though appropriate words is helpful. We must be careful that we do not just choose words to make our prayer sound nice, whether in a private prayer or with other people. We must be careful not just to make the prayer sound nice, Because in the end, whether it sounds nice or not, it's not the important thing, because it's the reality that counts. Reality within our hearts and expressed through the word is the reality that counts. It's not just the appearance of whether the prayer sounds eloquent or not. That is not the important thing, but the spirit of it is important. The reality of the spirit of how we're praying, is there the spirit of it is right and effective, is coming out meaningfully from our hearts. The spirit of the prayer, that is important. Not just words in the end, they're just an appearance of eloquent prayer. In other words, the reality is primary. But appropriate words can help us express the reality within effectively. The appropriate words are meant to help express the reality effectively. So the reality is primary, but appropriate words are helpful to express that reality. So we must first pay attention to the reality, and then the words to help express that reality. But if the reality is not present, then the words are vain, or our hearts are not right, or we're hypocritical and so on, then whatever words we use, they will be in vain. And B, 1B is the substance and reality, the substance and reality backing the words can vary a lot, can vary significantly. Now this means, even if there's sincerity, there's reality, but how much of it? What is the quality of that reality? The substance within the man, we consider just some of the righteous men, there are different qualities of life, stature. So for example, different ones may utter the same words, but the impact can be very different. Different ones may utter the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, when he said, "Begone, Satan." Different ones may utter these same words, but there can be significant differences in effectiveness, though the words are the same. The second point, helpful to take note of, to bear in mind in our times of prayer, whether it be the personal, in our private prayer, or together in the congregation, is the importance of learning to exercise our spirit and to concentrate on the issue of earnestness. If we look at James chapter 4, verse 17, we saw the example of Elijah just now. Verse 17 says, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months." Elijah was a man with nature like ours. It's an encouragement to us that Elijah is like us in the sense that he's a man, and if he can pray so effectively, so likewise can we also can. And one aspect that's helpful for us to bear in mind is that he prayed earnestly. Not only his stature, but also he prayed earnestly. So the earnestness of prayer will have a bearing on the effectiveness of the prayer. So whether in our personal time or together, properly, it's not just whether we are present or we are spending that time in prayer, but are we concentrating? Are we earnest? Are we exercising our spirit? Or our minds drift, we become distracted. So sometimes, for example, when in corporate prayer, others may be leading in prayer verbally, audibly, and we should be joining our hearts in the prayer. Are we earnest? Are we concentrating? Or are our minds drifting away? If our minds drift away, then we will not be contributing properly, effectively. So it's important for us to concentrate, to be earnest, to exercise ourselves. Likewise, the person who is praying, it's not sufficient that he covers the issues, or in even our own personal prayer time, but we must concentrate on the issues that we are praying. Are we deeply concerned about these things? Are we earnest about them? Or is it just words that come forth from our mouth? It sounds correct, but we are not earnest, we are not concentrating. So our heart must be in it. We shouldn't be half-hearted. We mustn't be indifferent. We mustn't be distracted. All these will affect the quality of prayer and the effectiveness of the prayer. Especially areas and issues that are important. We mustn't be half-hearted. Even if the words are right, the words in themselves are right, they are uttered. But we mustn't be half-hearted. Our hearts must be in it. We must concentrate, be earnest, and our hearts in it. This leads me to the third point to take note of, and that is that there is a place for the presence of some degree of appropriate emotion or feeling. There's a place for the presence of some degree of appropriate emotion or feeling in our prayers. I mention this because God has created us as human beings with emotion, and there is an appropriate place for emotion and feeling, even in our prayers. But appropriate emotion and feeling in our prayers is appropriate when they meaningfully accompany and form part of the expression of earnestness and concern. When there are issues that we are burdened about, we are concerned about, and we pray earnestly, there is a certain degree of emotion that's appropriate in it. And, for example, if someone is undergoing intense suffering, difficulties, and we're deeply concerned, and we pray for that person earnestly, it is difficult to imagine how you can do that and yet be completely emotionless. No emotion in it at all. There's a certain degree of emotion that will tend to accompany that is proper and in order, is part of that concern for that person and also part of the expression of that earnestness. Normally, it will be accompanied by a certain degree of emotion and feeling as part of the expression of that earnestness and that concern. But this is an area that you have to be very careful about. The issue of emotion in prayer. We must be careful of too much emotion in our prayer and also to mistake emotion for effectiveness. Or to mistake a lot of expression of emotion as earnestness. We are not the same. And this is not uncommon. We can easily mistake a lot of expression emotion for earnestness and for effectiveness. And to take note that emotion must be regulated, because there can be a lot of danger in too much emotion. And because this is an issue of some significance, in fact, in some contexts it can be very significant. I'll elaborate a little on this issue. The danger of too much emotion. A primary danger of too much emotion is that it can move in a direction, it can lead to loss of self-control. And if you look at Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23 on the fruit of the Spirit, which hopefully by now we should be familiar with the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Self-control is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we are healthy in our Christian lives, we are going on properly, there should always be this aspect of self-control that pervades our lives. So the Christian must be careful to maintain self-control. And in the context of self-control, God can meaningfully and effectively work in our lives as we actively choose to cooperate with Him. How God works effectively in our lives has a lot to do with how we cooperate with Him. Not as in some contexts there are believers who may be mistaken, thinking that they entrust their lives to God, they just let God take over their lives. But as God works effectively in our lives, it's always in the context of a continuing, actively choosing to cooperate with Him. The active cooperation with God must be a continuing thing. We do not just simply, under the mistaken notion of entrusting our lives to God, leave it to Him and cease the active choosing and cooperation. The active choosing and cooperation must continue, but it's an active choice to cooperate with God, to choose His will, to choose to follow Him, to choose to cooperate with the Spirit of God working in our hearts where He's leading us, and to be empowered by the Spirit. It's a constant active choice to align our hearts, our lives with God, and to cooperate with Him. And when we adopt that posture, God can then meaningfully, effectively work in our lives. But if we don't, then problems emerge from different angles. A major aspect would be we fail to maintain this self-control, then the efficient functioning of our faculties would be hindered. The efficient functioning of our faculties would be hindered. For example, our spirit is an important aspect of our being in our working with God. Our spirit can be hindered from being properly exercised because it's clouded and overwhelmed by too much emotion. We ponder about it, it's not difficult for us to recognize this. When there's a lot of emotion, it's too much emotion, the spirit can then be clouded and overwhelmed and difficult to exercise the spirit properly. It's overwhelmed by the emotion, too much emotion. Likewise, our minds can also be hindered from functioning properly, effectively, because it becomes clouded and overwhelmed by too much emotion. And the exercise of our spirit and our minds are very vital in healthy Christian living, in the way we cooperate with God and exercise ourselves as God desires of us. You see, all the injunctions in the scriptures are directed at our minds, our will, that we can exercise our spirit and our will in the direction of God's call and His injunctions and instructions to cooperate with Him. So our cooperation is vital. We go through the scriptures. There's so many injunctions in the scriptures of how we should live our lives. So the effective exercise of our mind and our spirit is related to the effective exercise of the will. Our will, they are related. And our will can be negatively affected in the context of loss of self-control, in the context of too much emotion. When there's too much emotion, or you say a person becoming emotional, that is, he moves in the direction of being dominated by his emotion, then in that kind of context, when the emotion begins to take over, be influenced upon his life, it's difficult for him to exercise his will. So when his will, it's difficult for him to exercise his will effectively, then his mind, because the will has a bearing on the directing of the mind, how you use your mind, what to think about, what to concentrate upon, and so on. And likewise, the spirit, how the spirit is to be exercised, has a lot to do with your will. You exercise your will to choose how to exercise your spirit. Likewise, if your spirit cannot express itself properly, your mind cannot exercise itself properly because of the overwhelming sense of emotion, all this would also affect the capacity of the will to choose properly, because the issues become clouded. Your mind cannot think clearly. The will then cannot choose properly because the mind is not clear. So these various areas are related, and they are all be negatively affected if there's too much emotion, leading to loss of self-control and the person becoming dominated by his emotion. And we need also to bear in mind that in such a context, there is the danger of spiritual manipulation increased. It becomes easier for the powers of darkness to take advantage of us and to deceive us Because our minds, we cannot think so clearly. We begin to move more on the basis of emotion. We cannot exercise our will so properly, so efficiently. And the evil one can also manipulate our emotions. And we can be deceived to move in various directions according to our emotion. Our minds not clear. The powers of darkness can manipulate, take advantage, and deceive us. It's helpful for us to note, on the one hand, that we should be earnest in our prayers, but to realize that we can be earnest without being emotional. We can be earnest without being emotional. Though there can be an appropriate place for a certain degree of emotion, but we can be earnest without being emotional, that means too much emotion, or dominated by the emotion in the direction of loss of self-control. And this is an important point for us to take note of. That is, true earnestness that moves in the direction of effective prayer is expressed basically by spiritual exertion, not by emotional exertion. A lot of emotion being expressed means a lot of earnestness. Now, when you talk about earnestness in the context of effective prayer, the true earnestness in effective prayer is basically expressed by our concentration in the prayer through spiritual exertion, not the release of a lot of emotion. Because in the end, the impact must be in the spiritual realm, and the emotion, a lot of release of emotion, does not have that kind of impact in the spiritual realm. It has to be spiritual. In other words, a person can be earnest in prayer in a meaningful sense, in the proper sense of effective prayer, earnest and effective in his prayer, and yet there is not much of an emotion, because primarily he is exercising himself spiritually. But as I mentioned, some degree of emotion is in order. There's an appropriate place for that as part of the expression of us as human beings, of love and concern in that situation, a burden in our hearts. There's some degree of emotion that is in order. I now want to carry on to consider with you an issue that has a bearing on prayer and effective prayer, and appearance and reality in relation to effective prayer, and that is the issue of length of prayer. Length of prayer. We saw in the parable on the Pharisee and the tax gatherer that the tax gatherer's prayer was very brief, but it was effective in the sense that it was acceptable to God, and God heard him, answered his prayer, to be merciful to him. And we may then ask ourselves, is short, brief prayer better? Or as some may put it, short and sweet, like the tax gatherers, short and sweet prayer. But is that kind of prayer better prayer? We need to recognize that there is a place for spending long time in prayer. And the Lord Jesus often spent much time in prayer. The scriptures also often urges us to pray earnestly, and prayer to be a very prominent part of our lives. And likewise, the encouragement of the Apostle Paul, by his own life as well as by his words, his instructions, his teachings in the epistles. And the scriptures in Luke chapter 6 verse 12 also records of how the Lord Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. We just take note of that, but we'll refer to that afterwards. We need not turn to that passage now. But the Lord Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. But not only for his own life, the Lord Jesus in the Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, we saw the parable on the Pharisee and tax gatherer, but in the earlier part of this chapter, in Luke 18, we see another parable that was narrated by the Lord Jesus. And this parable is on the issue of perseverance in prayer. Luke chapter 18, from verse 1 onwards, is a parable on perseverance in prayer. Now he, the Lord Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And then he went on to describe. You see, to pray and not to lose heart, you continue to pray. Verse 3 talks about this widow kept coming to the judge, saying, "Give me legal protection," kept coming. And then verse 4 says, at first the judge was unwilling to heed the request of the widow, but afterwards he agreed. Yes, even though I do not fear God nor respect men, verse 5, "Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out." Now this continually coming is linked to verse 6 and 7. The Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them?" So there's a place for crying to God day and night. Perseverance, continually, works in that kind of direction. For perseverance in prayer, continuing in prayer, long time in prayer, there is a place. In fact, long time in prayer can have, and it does actually have, a very important part in effective prayer, in the life of one who is truly effective in prayer. Long time in prayer has a very important part actually in effective prayer, in the effective prayer life of a child of God. But there are problems, there are pitfalls, there are various misconceptions in this area of long time in prayer and length of prayer. But I want to emphasize both aspects. Long time in prayer, length of prayer, it can have a significant part in the life of one who has developed his prayer life well. But there are also various misconceptions, pitfalls, and complications that can arise on this issue, and we need to take note of them and to be careful. So for example, we need to beware, take note of the words of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 20, verse 47. Luke chapter 20, verse 47. Reading from verse 46. "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." The Lord Jesus warns us about the practice of the scribes and Pharisees, who for appearance's sake offer long prayers. For appearance's sake, they offer long prayers. And it says they will receive greater condemnation. Not always long prayers will be pleasing to God. But if you look at this context and ponder about it, you'll see here that the likelihood is that the scribes and Pharisees, they prayed in this way, long prayers, because they want to impress others that they are spiritual, that they are pious. It's also likely to be related to this false notion of associating praying long with being good or effective in prayer. At times people do have this kind of false notion. If a person prays long, it means he's good, he's effective in prayer, so he can pray long. And people also tend at times to harbor this kind of false notion when they pray long. They pray long because they think to pray long means we are good, we are effective in prayer. And at times it can be to impress others that we are spiritual, we are pious, so we spend a long time in prayer to impress others. We must also try not to be unnecessarily long-winded in prayer and come under the category of what the Lord Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 6 verse 7 as being engaged in meaningless repetition in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So meaningless repetition in prayer, supposing that we will be heard for our many words. In other words, a reliance on length and a reliance on many words, thinking that if we pray long and there are many words in our prayers, it will be more effective, the Lord will hear us. But it is not so. Length in itself does not mean it will be effective. Many words does not mean it will be effective. And as I elaborate, carry on, the issues may become clearer to us. There are some points for us to take note in relation to length of prayer for an individual participating in public prayer. There are some points that are helpful for us to take note of in relation to length of prayer for an individual participating in public prayer. And especially for those who subconsciously tend to associate length with effectiveness or just a tendency to be lengthy in when we are participating in public prayer, it's helpful for us to ponder over these points and evaluate. Subconsciously, we associate length of prayer with effectiveness or just a tendency to be lengthy in our prayers. The first point to take note of is that we must realize there is a wrong notion to equate length with effectiveness. See it in its clarity. Length does not mean effective. We shouldn't equate length with effectiveness. Though, as I mentioned earlier, which I'll elaborate afterwards, there is an important place for a long time in prayer, but we mustn't equate the two. We can be less effective than shorter prayer when there's length in prayer. Long prayers can be less effective than shorter prayers. We cannot equate length with effectiveness. The second and the third point helps us in elaborating on the first point of the wrong notion. The second point to take note of the fact that in long time spending length in prayer, in public prayer, to realize that there may be insufficient life and stamina, insufficient spiritual life and stamina to sustain the meaning and spiritual reality of the prayer. There may be insufficient spiritual life and stamina to sustain the meaning and spiritual reality of the prayer. And praying privately and praying corporately is different, and also some issues are more significant, and it requires a certain degree of spiritual strength and life to be able to pray a certain degree of length corporately. And if we lack that, we may not be able to sustain the meaning and spiritual reality of the prayer, and then it can then degenerate in the direction of mere words, in the sense that it becomes just verbal and mental exercise. But there's hardly any spiritual reality in the prayer, and this is negative in corporate prayer or even in our own personal prayer life. And even if the issues are not very major that we are praying, to be able to pray effectively, properly, with that life and spiritual life, sustaining it, is not easy. And we have to evaluate whether there is sufficient life and stamina to sustain that length of prayer. That's one aspect. Another aspect, point number three, is to realize also and to ponder about, to consider whether it is difficult for others to join in meaningfully. Whether is it difficult for others to join in meaningfully? Now, this can have may be due to various reasons. Sometimes even if we can pray with life and meaning in a way which may be suitable for us in our own personal prayer life, but the way we go about praying in corporate prayer, and we pray, we take quite some time, others may not be able to join in meaningfully. So we should bear in mind that we are not praying on our own, we are praying together with others. We have to bear in mind whether can others join in meaningfully. So whether is it difficult for others to join in the prayer meaningfully, but if the whole way we pray is not so meaningful and lacking in life and so on, it can be even more problematic. So if we are not careful, then at times when we pray long in corporate prayer, it can become tedious for others. Others can find it hard to bear. They can find it difficult to concentrate, to join in the prayer. And sometimes length of prayer in corporate prayer can also dampen the spirit of others and the earnestness of others, and can hinder effective corporate prayer. And this is significant. We must bear in mind. Even sometimes people may come and the spirits are right and they are ready to join in prayer, but the way we pray, one aspect of it is length of prayer, when we are not in position to pray meaningfully for that length of time, it can become tedious and hard to bear, hard to concentrate. It can dampen the spirit of others and the whole effectiveness of that time in corporate prayer can be negatively affected. So this is a point for us to bear in mind. The fourth point is a false sense of spirituality. A false sense of spirituality. A false notion that one is spiritual when he's able to pray for a long time. Sometimes we have this false sense, not necessarily very much at the forefront of our consciousness, but deep inside. We have this false notion that if we can pray for a long time, it means we are spiritual. So this false notion of spirituality, because we are able to pray for a long time. Though it is true that spirituality can help one to pray longer meaningfully. That is true. If you are spiritual, it can help you to pray longer meaningfully, whether it be on your own personal prayer life or together corporately. If there's spiritual health, it can help. It can help us to pray longer meaningfully. But it is not true the other way around. That if we pray long, it means there's spirituality. But having made these qualifications, I now want to emphasize that a longer time in prayer can not only be meaningful, but rather important, especially in personal, private prayer. Longer time in prayer can be meaningful and important, especially in personal, private prayer. When I say longer time in prayer can be important, especially in personal, private prayer as opposed to corporate prayer, I'm referring to an individual participating in corporate prayer for length of time. That often there are difficulties and pitfalls that we have to take note of. But a congregation which is ready, the congregation as a whole, maybe spending quite some degree of time in prayer, that's different, but different ones are participating. But for an individual to pray for a length of time in corporate prayer, then various of those aspects that I mentioned just now, we need to take note of and to be careful about. But a congregation that's ready can also spend a longer time in prayer together, but different ones participating. But even then, the issue still remains as to whether the congregation is ready for that kind of length of time in prayer. If most of the people are not able, then it will not be meaningful just to have that kind of length. Although at times it can be possible corporately to spend longer time in prayer, depending on the approach, interspersed by sharings, by singing of hymns and so on, there can be ways whereby a longer time in corporate prayer can still be meaningful and effective. But I will not dwell on that now. I now want to concentrate more on how longer time in prayer can be meaningful and important, especially in personal, private prayer. So for example, A, when we are seeking for guidance and praying over major issues, we need not even be a very mature person, mature Christian of high degree of spiritual stature, and yet we can spend a longer time in prayer and can be helpful and meaningful, and at times important that we do so. What major issues? We are seeking guidance from the Lord, we are praying over them. We can spend a longer time in prayer. And earlier I mentioned the verse, but we didn't turn to it. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. We'll look at that now. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. The Lord Jesus spending the whole night in prayer. Luke chapter 6 verse 12. And it was at this time that he, the Lord Jesus, went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. So he spent a long time in prayer. And then he says in verse 13, and when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he named as apostles. So the Lord Jesus was going to choose the 12 apostles, and he spent the whole night in prayer. And then after that, he chose the 12 disciples. And we know that choosing the 12 disciples is a significant matter, significant issue. So the Lord Jesus spent much time to pray over the matter. And likewise, for major aspects, major issues, there is a place for us to spend longer time in praying over major issues, and at times in trying to understand the Lord's will, to seek the Lord for guidance. There is a place to spend longer time in prayer. B, another example of extended time of prayer, where it's in order for us to pray longer time and it's meaningful and helpful, when we are pondering over our lives before the Lord. When we are pondering over our lives before the Lord. And at times, we may spend extended time to pray over, partly also as to evaluate our lives before the Lord, a concern as to whether there are aspects in our lives that are not good. If the word overhauling your life helps you to remember this, you can use it. Overhauling your life, or a thorough checkup. Sometimes a car or a machine, you overhaul it, you give it a thorough checkup. Likewise, we also can go for a medical checkup, a thorough checkup. Spiritually, in our lives before the Lord, we may also times spend more time with the Lord to go through our lives thoroughly. Various aspects of our lives, and to try to understand whether there are aspects in our lives that are not right. To clean out the filth, the dirt, washing, cleansing. And just as in the car, you may oil the car, repair the car. Likewise for our lives, as we ponder over our lives, various aspects, things not right, we ask the Lord to wash us, cleanse us, as well as take definite steps to correct our lives. Any repairs that needs to be done, we correct our lives. And also then, having been washed, cleansed, a definite dealing with our lives in its various aspects, having sorted them out, we then ask the Lord to strengthen us and to fill us afresh with His Spirit as we affirm our love for Him, our commitment to Him. So pondering over our lives before the Lord in this way, evaluating our lives before Him, correcting ourselves and before Him, and positive steps to be taken, all this, to do so effectively, can often take time. And so a longer time in prayer before the Lord in this way can be meaningful and helpful. If it's just a short space of time, it is difficult to do this properly. But of course, long time doesn't necessarily mean that it will be effective. But length of time, if we do so properly, is needful in such context and can be very helpful. C, where it relates to significant difficult or complicated issues, then at times length of time in prayer would be important, and likewise struggles in spiritual warfare. Length of time praying over these things can have a significant bearing on the impact in the spiritual realm and our contribution to the attaining of the goal of the prayer. Because provided that is we are able to have the stamina to pray meaningfully, and we are able to exercise ourselves spiritually meaningfully in that context, the spiritual exertion is there, then there is the continuing release of the Lord's of spiritual life and power. You would then have a significant bearing on effectiveness of prayer over those issues. I'll qualify about this area afterwards, but here the point I want to emphasize is that length in prayer, if done so meaningfully, properly, can have a significant bearing on impact and effectiveness of prayer, especially over major issues and complicated issues, and at times quite needful, especially for those who are in a position to do so meaningfully in that context. D, in the context of worship and fellowship with God. In worship and fellowship with God, this is also an aspect of prayer whereby we can spend more time to pray in worship, in deepening our oneness with God, in deepening our fellowship with God, and in that context, affirming our love for Him, commitment to Him, pondering over how we can live our lives more effectively, faithfully in its various aspects. Now this bears a relationship to point B, but here I'm referring to just general worship and fellowship, more the positive aspects generally, not necessarily intensive time to ponder over our lives in areas that are not right, but the more positive sense of worship and fellowship with God and deepening oneness with Him. Such times can be very enriching and meaningful together with length of time. But having said this, and that though there's more place for length of prayer in personal prayer time, even then we still need to bear in mind a few points, even in personal private prayer. One, the meaning and the spiritual life and reality must be sustained. We need to be careful. Sometimes we spend a long time in prayer and we may think that spending a long time is very good, but the meaning is not there. The length of time is there, but the meaning is not sustained. The life, the spiritual reality and life is not sustained. And our minds wander, or it degenerates into words and just mental exercise, just words, and exercise our minds mentally, then it is not helpful. The meaning and the spiritual reality and life and our hearts, the prayers from our hearts to God, all this must be properly sustained. Then it is meaningful. Another point to take note of is the significance of the issues. We need to be wise. If the issue is rather minor, then it's not helpful, not wise, to spend a long time praying earnestly over small issues. Or sometimes an issue, something that we would like to have, we're inclined, that the Lord answers our prayer on a certain issue, on a certain thing that we like to have. But it may be a small thing, even though it may be a correct thing to have, but it's a small thing. Let us learn to be wise and not just spend a lot of time on those things, exert a lot of energy on it, even if it is not wrong to pray for that matter. we should learn to concentrate on issues that are more important. When we talk about exertion and length of time, we should know our priorities. Because the amount of time that we have, as well as the spiritual energy to exercise ourselves in prayer, we are limited and we need to be wise. How we channel our energy in prayer. And the third point to bear in mind, which is important, is that it shouldn't be too strenuous for us spiritually. When we spend long time in prayer, it can be very helpful and important, but we should be careful that it's not too strenuous for us spiritually. Especially if there are spiritual warfare implications, that's one major area to be careful about. But also other areas generally, any major issues that we pray over earnestly will also have spiritual implications of opposition from the powers of darkness. It's a question of degree, and also the approach we adopt can make a difference as to the kind of opposition we get, or the amount of or the kind of spiritual exertion. But praying over major issues earnestly would require exercise of ourselves spiritually, requires spiritual energy. The other is, it can at times be strenuous to spend a long time in prayer and praying over many items, especially issues of significance. So we cover a lot of ground. We pray over many, many things, though they may not be very obviously, intensely, have intense spiritual implications in spiritual warfare, but we pray over many items of significance. We keep on praying and praying. We can become spiritually drained. So we need to be careful, to evaluate, to be alert to these things. The fourth point we can take note of is the content of prayer. The content of prayer, apart from approach in prayer, how we pray and so on, which can affect. We also should consider the content of our prayer. So where the content of our prayer has to do more with worship and fellowship with God, pondering over our lives before God. I've covered some of these areas with you just now. It's more has to do with these areas, like B and D. Worship, fellowship with God, pondering over our lives before God. That kind of content in prayer, length of time in prayer is more in order and not so likely to result in problems of spiritually being drained and overstrained. But even then, the first point, the first qualification is still valid, that there must be meaning and life sustained. But we can spend longer time in worshipping of God, affirming our love and commitment to Him. In fact, as we do so, we can be spiritually refreshed, renewed, strengthened, if it's properly done, instead of spiritually drained. But when we pray for others and we pray over various issues pertaining to God's kingdom, for the advancement of God's kingdom, then, and even more so where it has more direct relationship with spiritual warfare, then it can be spiritually exhausting and draining. This leads me to the fifth point that we can take note of and ponder about. It's helpful for us to take note of the fifth point, and that is, we can pray longer meaningfully over major issues with spiritual exertion if interspersed with spiritual refreshment. We can pray longer meaningfully over major issues with spiritual exertion if interspersed with spiritual refreshment. Now, whether you're spiritually more mature, stronger or not, will always have a bearing on how well you can sustain and pray effectively and the length of time. But apart from that, this has to do with the approach that you take in prayer. If you're spending long time in prayer and if you're praying over major issues, if you keep on praying and praying earnestly over major issues, you may find yourself spiritually drained quite quickly. You're not able to sustain it. But if you concentrate, you can pray earnestly, exercise yourself, and after some time, You don't just keep on concentrating on that issue or those major issues. You spend more time. You intersperse. You spend time then to strengthen yourself in the Lord, to worship the Lord, to praise God, to just have a fellowship with Him, and then strengthen, refresh, renew. You continue on to pray over the major issues, and for that matter, it's always a helpful thing when we are spending a long time in prayer, not to straight away begin by praying over the major issues. Where we have the time available, especially, it's always good to spend time to first to worship the Lord, to strengthen ourselves in Him before we go on to pray over the major issues, even though they may be of deep concern of our hearts. Although at times in certain situations, certain things are urgent, we pray quite quickly, that's a different thing. But when we have time, it's always good to spend time to pray, to praise the Lord, to worship Him. Not just in order that we can pray effectively over the areas of concern, but that time of worship in itself is very meaningful and ought to be for the life of a believer and the whole meaning of our relationship with God. But another aspect that we can bear in mind has to do with the meaning of the time of worship of God. Even when you're praying over issues, and even in the context of spiritual warfare, it is helpful to realize that times of expression of that worship of God and the fellowship with God, that kind of time and affirmation of various aspects of truth, they are not only fitting and meaningful as an expression between the child of God unto God, and also the strengthening and the refreshing of ourselves, but also it has an impact on the spiritual realm, on the powers of darkness, and has a bearing on various areas you are concerned and praying over. So in the context of praying directly on the various issues, we also praise and worship God and affirm the sovereignty of God and so on, the attributes of God. All this also has a bearing on the spiritual realm and its impact on the spiritual realm and the attaining of the goal of the prayer, the effectiveness of prayer. In consideration of this issue, an incident comes to mind. I think we probably have referred to this in times past. This is a parallel, a picture in the physical realm, but it illustrates the spiritual reality. If I'm not mistaken, it involves King Jehoshaphat when he was facing, with his army, facing a much superior army, especially in numbers. And facing this superior army, not only was there the crying out to God to help, but it was also in the context of praising God and worshipping God that God routed the enemy. Now though that is a physical enemy, I see there's a parallel also in the spiritual context, in times of prayer. In the context of praising God and worshipping God, there is an impact. It makes a difference in the effectiveness of our prayer and the impact on the spiritual realm and on the forces of darkness involved in that situation. We will conclude for today. And just again focusing ourselves on James chapter 5 verse 16 to remind ourselves, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. To realize that prayer can accomplish much in the spiritual realm and the furtherance of God's kingdom is a very major aspect of accomplishing God's work. And in order to make progress, to do well in this area of prayer and accomplishing the Lord's work, how to go about it, how to equip ourselves, how to make progress, let us recognize the two aspects. One is the righteous man aspect, our lives, our hearts before God, and our spiritual growth, development, the direction of maturity and stature. And then the other aspect is the effective prayer. How to understand and to learn how to pray effectively. The righteous man aspect is primary, crucial. And as we look to the Lord to help us to grow spiritually, we also seek to understand how to pray effectively, wisdom in prayer, and how to exercise ourselves, how to regulate, what are the issues to concentrate upon, areas of priority, how to perceive more accurately the issues that are precious and important to God's heart and the Lord's purposes, both the general direction of God's purposes as well as what is most needful for us to concentrate upon at that point of time. What are the areas that God wants us to concentrate upon? We stop here for today. Let us then prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us reflect over our lives as we seek to be more effective in our prayer life. Let us ponder over the life of the Lord Jesus, the quality of His life that bears a direct relationship with the power of His prayer. Let us reflect on the character of the Lord Jesus, that we too may be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Let us, as we ponder over the prayer life of the Lord Jesus, also need to realize how needful it is for us to pay attention to our prayer life, to nurture our prayer life, and to learn to be effective in prayer. Let us also, as we ponder over what the Lord Jesus has done for our lives, not only express our appreciation and gratitude to the Lord, but also He came not only that we may have forgiveness of sins, but also to live a life that overcomes the sins and temptations that come our way. That the requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so let us ponder over our lives. If there are areas in our lives that are displeasing to the Lord, let us ask Him to show to us. Let us be open to the Lord. Confess our failures. Take whatever corrective steps that are necessary. Also ponder over positive areas that we can concentrate upon, that we should pay attention and develop and nurture. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace towards us. Thank You for Your patience with our lives. We thank You for the life You've given to us. We thank You for the fellowship we can have with You, day by day, moment by moment. We thank You for the scriptures You've caused to be written for instruction, for the Spirit of God that helps us to understand the scriptures, the Spirit of God that strengthens us to walk in Your ways. Father, we ask that You help us more and more to know what it means to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to learn how to cooperate with You. Help us to grow in understanding and true knowledge, to be wise in our ways, to know what are the issues that are important that we should concentrate upon, to know what are the areas of pitfalls and dangers that we should avoid, misconceptions that we should clear from our minds. Reveal to us areas in our lives, including those that are deeply hidden, that are deficient, that are not pleasing to You, that we may more and more attain the purity of heart, that the Spirit of God may have freedom to fill us and to work in us. Help us to be able not only to grow in our personal walk with You, but how we can encourage one another unto love and the good deeds. Father, we ask also that more and more You will help us to understand how to nurture and to develop our prayer life. and to learn how to pray effectively. We thank you for the bread and for the wine. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you cleanse us from all our sins and prepare our hearts that we may not partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We praise you, we give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.